All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Hey, welcome to this family Bible study hour. Praise God, our Father's Word. You know something good about our Father's Word? It's way ahead of tomorrow's newspaper. We're going to do a little study in Obadiah, and I thought even about titling it Tomorrow's Newspaper by Editor Obadiah. But we'll revisit Obadiah, and we'll simply title it Current Events According to Obadiah. You see, our Father's Word was written many, many years ago, and when you see that Word come to pass, as it is today, I want you to let that strengthen your faith in Father's Word to know that His plan is perfect. And whether you would consider it to be perfect or not, it's going to happen exactly as He has written it, as it is written. That you can count on. So I would suggest that you perhaps study the Word, absorb it, and plan your life in accordance, whether you like it or not. You know, make your own choice. At least you'll go informed, all right? Whichever direction you go, you'll at least be informed. It'll be your own free will. His Word is so beautiful and so precious. It always brings, always, peace of mind to those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. I want to talk to you about the world situation at this time. Russia falling at the seams. When did it begin? It began with Vietnam. Many people are not aware of that. Communism actually began to fall apart with our stand, though many might say it wasn't a stand. You call it whatever you like. It got the job done. And communism began to unravel after Vietnam. The next soldiers that picked the battle up, I'm sure there were many more, but at least that come to my mind at this second, were 10 people in East Berlin at a little church building. And it'd be about 11 years ago now, they met and they began planning and they began praying and they began studying God's Word. And their prayers were that communism would fall and that East Berlin, East Germany, would be freed of the clutches of this communistic atheism that had a stranglehold on Germany at that time. It grew, and then, lo, as our Father willed, years later, with that 10 and 200,000 or 300,000 accompanying them, the march started on those church steps and began to stand in East Berlin, and the walls come tumbling down. Communism began to crumble. There is one, why am I bringing all this up? Poland is free, country after country, free, claiming freedom. It would have been impossible for your father's plan of one worldism or the so-called New World Order, it would have been impossible for the New World Order to come into being if we had one part of the world which covered millions and millions of people being citizens thereof, to have a one world peace system if an atheistic, communistic iron fist ruled those people whereby they did not have freedom of choice, so to speak. So now, with Russia falling apart, we see that human rights, because that will be one of the themes used by the New World Order, and you know, who can say anything negative against human rights? Not wisely, you couldn't. What is it used for? To bring all humanity to one point, one thought, world peace. And that is good. And many might say, well, why would that be good? Because it's part of God's plan. He has written many times, they would cry peace, 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 but there would be no peace. Well, there will be a semblance only of peace. Because you see, as you have read in the book of Daniel, instead of Jesus or Antichrist even comes in peaceably on the higher places of the land, of the world. So it was necessary. My point being this, it was necessary that a government whereby the people had no freedom of choice to become a part of the New World Order, basically. It would have been an oddball, a misfit. But we see all that changed. We see all of that removed. Was it written of long ago? Yes, it was. Obadiah, which in the Hebrew tongue means servant of Yah, servant of our Father, he told us long ago. He gave us types. There will be yet another time that this type will be actuality and the prophecy will come to pass. Has it already? No, it hasn't. But still another step in the type is utilized by our Father to explain to you what is happening today. So let's get right into it, if we may. Obadiah, meaning a servant of Yah. There is a second witness to Obadiah. It's Jeremiah chapter 49. There is a great similarity in the two prophecies, which means simply that God's word, regardless of what prophet is setting it to pen, it's our Father, the same speaker, a different recorder. So, Obadiah the servant of Yah, chapter 1, verse 1, let's go with it. And as much as it only has one chapter, we'll let that do it. Verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. Edom in the Hebrew tongue means red, the red nation. It is Esau's land, and Esau, of course, is Rush, would later become Rush, Rush, and then Russia of today. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. So, there we have that battle plan. What kind of battle are we talking about here? A spiritual war, beloved. I might say something. Satan, after having lost the battle that began in the year 1917, over 70 years ago, but a 70-year period of time before she really began to crumble, he had a total system that adhered to atheism, which is to say, God does not exist. Now, Satan, really, he loved that. But Satan himself would have to understand how it would fall because he intends to appear as God, as it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Didn't fit his plan too well either. But let me warn you, Christian, he's not happy today. With atheism crumbling, that anti-God regime, and he lost the great strongholds there, he's not happy. So he's on the prowl, so you better tighten your life up and be ready and understand. You got it? Okay. No Christian should put up with Satan. You have the power in the name of Yeshua to drive him from yourself and your family. I'm just warning you that he's not happy. It's like stirring up a hornet's nest. He and his little demons, they don't like to lose that much ground, but I got news for them. We're not giving up ground. We're taking ground. Our Father is in control. So you better gird up your life a little bit is what I'm telling you and be very watchful in these days. Verse 2, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. And I would suppose that she was flying the banners of superpower not long ago. And she had put together a group of nations in part that was the fruit of basically World War II. And we were a large part to the party that allowed it. And naturally, she was small. It was just that she had a lot of prisoners. Verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? You should recognize that verse, especially from Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 verses 13 through 15, where Lucifer is asked, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? How did you take the sides of the north and set yourself on high in your pride?" You see, it's very real, beloved. You better make a home assignment of Isaiah 14 verses 13 through 15, make it even 16 if you will, to understand that any time high is mentioned, it means the host also that is supernatural. Verse 4, I'm not saying Russia is supernatural, I'm saying that old demon that will always root in and make himself at home when God is supposedly driven out. I stated supposedly. He's never driven out. He's in control. Verse 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle. What nation is the eagle symbolic of? Several, but basically the superpower of superpowers, the United States of America. You set yourself up as a superpower like America. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Hyperbole, much more said than is written. God had promised Edom that he would bring them down. You've got to go back, beloved, all the way to Genesis chapter 25 and 27 to understand that Esau and is whom God is addressing here in his nation, the dukes that would follow, that they would be cursed, in a sense, from the fat of the land. He sold his birthright. He sold his heritage, which means he sold his place as a child of God. That's why it is written in Malachi chapter 1, why it is written in Romans chapter 9, God says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. It really wasn't what was accomplished in this earth age, but the one before, at the overthrow. Satan and Esau have always been pretty good buddies. Has nothing to do with the Russian people of today. I'm speaking back long ago. A word to the wise is sufficient. You tried to play superpower when you should have known the curse that was placed on you, Esau, in the time of your birth and at the time of your adulthood. While you were yet in your mother's womb, that you would never be that superpower. God promised he would strip him. And beloved, you are there. You're seeing his carnage being ripped apart in a very, all in the name of peace and freedom. And it's a blessing that don't ever think it wasn't here in Obadiah all the time that it would come to pass. And you have heard this teacher teach this same Obadiah, I don't know how many times, warning you that it would come to pass. And so it has. 70 years. Verse 5. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes, that is to say, for the widow woman, for the gleaning? I wonder how many of you have noticed the pictures of the lines of the shelves in their supermarkets, and I'm not making light of the people. I'm simply saying, for he that tried to make like the eagle to claim he had a supermarket, one, not even one. You might find an overstocked commissary in the past for the higher echelon of the Communist Party, but not for the people. They have placed so much money trying to play superpower in third-rate armory, that is to say, third-rate tanks, pretty fair aircraft, some pretty fair rocketry. I pray, and I'm so happy that it's never going to happen, But it would not surprise me that if they were to fire their atomic weaponry at America, that Russia would be damaged more than America would. Be that as it may, like I say, we sure wouldn't want to risk the point, because they're pretty good in aviation, and yes, even in rocketry. But the point being, in this verse 5, they rip the people off until they are stripped clean bare. None of those monies was utilized toward high technology for the everyday man. And you see, that's what it really was supposed to stand for: communism for the working class, for the little man, so to speak. And the little person in Russia will be one of the first to admit our main mistake was, if they pulled God away from us. They really didn't. The people allowed it. But then an iron fist can cause people to do many things. But yes, they are stripped. Let's let the Father say it, and I'll be quiet. You were stripped worse than if a robber had come into your nation and ripped everybody off. At least a robber would have left something for the people, but you have cleaned them out. Verse 6. How are the things of Esau searched out? How can we understand this? How are his hidden things sought up? Stripped bare. That's what it means. There's nothing hidden. It's all laid out in the open. The archives, even of the KGB, are being unlocked. 7. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The borders are changing like dominoes. The men that were at peace with thee, that were a part of the Warsaw Pact, have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Look at Cuba, beloved. I'll use it as an example. Do you know how much money Russia has sent to Cuba? Do you know how much money they were sending into Nicaragua? Shipload after shipload after shipload of supplies and armaments. Do you know what the peasant folk in Russia were doing while all this was going on? While Castro has his big paw elevated and held out, and we know that this program is received in Cuba, be that as it may. Let's tell the truth. There will be no more handouts, for there is nothing else left. And the shame of robbing the little man of what he was actually working for, supposedly, while Esau tried to play superpower, the Confederacy split and basically is no more. Is that good? You bet that's good. For it moved prophecy exactly where our Father intended it, and that is that everything is green go for the New World Order. Will it be better? It will beat the iron fist. And who knows? Maybe the nations of the world will prevent starvation of the common little person in Russia this winter. But caution, my friend, it is still written that Esau will come against us after Antichrist appears on this earth and deceives them even into a new religion. And they will not be the only ones deceived, for the whole world will go after him. So, understand and keep yourself paced with prophecy. It is well to feed, but no bullets. You understand? Or you're going to get them right back in your face. Verse 8, shall I not in that day, when this is fulfilled, in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau. Beloved, anytime, all wisdom comes from God. And anytime you turn a government totally to atheism and remove God from record, neither do you have any wisdom. I think that is obvious at this time. History will certainly. What God has really said here, if you're going to translate it real plain, God says, I'm going to make them all stupid. Or I'm going to let them all become stupid. It's a coup. It's a miserable failure. Of the best minds, supposedly, Russia had to bear. Verse 9. And thy mighty men, O Teman, this is South Russia, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the Mount of Esau, every one of the Mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. That would better translate deception. I do not believe that a bloodbath would come, but don't rule it out, my friend. We are in a time of peace, 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 not slaughter, slaughter, but spiritual slaughter when you remove God from a nation and when people must cut through 2 feet of ice to baptize in the wintertime in the dead of night rather than to be caught by the secret police to baptize Christians, then it is void. Verse 10, spiritually dead is what I mean to say, slaughtered spiritually. Verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. You will never again see the Soviet Union or any group of nations, a Warsaw Pact, under the guise of communism again. It is dead, dead, dead. What you will see, you will see a group of nations, listen carefully, flying a banner of religion that shall come against Jacob again. This same Jacob, always when used in this sense in prophecy, means the natural seed of Israel. Not Judah, not one little tribe, but all of them. You will see a new formation, but it shall be under the name of religion that shall bring them against this nation. Verse 11, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners, this is talking about the 10 tribes that went north now, exclude Judah from this prophecy. The 10 tribes that went north would later settle Great Britain, that would later settle America, Canada, the Christian nations of today. Carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem. Even thou wast as one of them. You took potluck. There have been many floodgates opened, and refugees flooded from the world over. Today we have many gangs and mafias that we did not have before. Quite interesting. But your father is in control. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah. Now we come to Judah, what is called Israel today. That is to say, you must remember, the inhabitants of Judah today are made up of two fig trees, the good and the bad. The children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You laughed at them. You see, much of this is yet to come. This is not a type for now necessarily, but this is when they shall mock and laugh, when there will be gallantry and God's elect that shall stand against the false religion that will abound in the New World Order. As the chronological order of events begins to transpire even past where you are at this time, this prophecy shall relive all over again with a total new meaning. how perfect God's word is. 13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gates of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Oh, what I could teach concerning the Berlin Wall and those of Judah that were in Germany. 14. Now, thou shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape, like with walls and so forth. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. People gunned down like dogs that tried to break away. 15. For, this is the reason, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. This, you could translate this better, nations, or heathen nations, if you like. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall be returned upon thine own head. And beloved, for the type that we have today, this has come to pass. They have reaped their reward. And that is when stupid men take an unbalanced portion and spend it to be called a superpower and to build weapons and to buy confederates, to buy friends such as Castro. Then you're going to pay the price. God said, you sign your own death warrant. And this has come to pass. And beloved, you're here. You're there. You have witnessed it. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down. They're going to sup it up. And they shall be as though they had not been. Do you know what they're going to drink down? The cup of God's wrath. That's what they're going to sup up. That same cup that Jesus said, Father, is there another way that this cup may pass from me, that I don't have to pour it out in the end days on my day, the Lord's day? And Father assured him there was not. We have some weak minded that would have you believe that Christ had a weak moment and it was his crucifixion he was wishing to escape. Not so, for the crucifixion had been written 1,000 years before in Psalms 22. It was this cup that they will sup up, those that have played stupid. And then the beauty begins. 17, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, always have, always will, when you're in God. It was on one of these mounts that is called Golgotha, that the price was paid. The deliverance is brought forth by the deliverer, or the Savior. Verse 18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. What is the house of Esau? That house that God said, Esau I hated, Jacob I loved. They will convert to Christ, the true Christ, and they shall become children of the living God rather than children of Esau. For there will never again, for it is written that Satan's beast system is cast into that burning fire that is called the lake of fire on the last day of this dispensation, on the Lord's day. And never again will Satan be afforded the atheistic, socialistic system to deceive people, to enslave, to entrap. He will be on his own when he is released from the pit. But I know a people that God is calling out that have understanding, to understand the words as they are clearly written, to recognize the power that God shall use in that people, in this generation. What a time to live. Verse 19. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain of the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. What? God owns the world. 20. And the captivity of this host, that is to say, the 12 tribes, all of them, of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. You know what that is? It's the smelting place. You mean to tell you what the smelting place is? Hinnom. All the world will be decent at this time. And the captivity, Hinnom, the valley of Hinnom, is where the lake of fire itself shall be, which is in Sepharad, which is to say separated, shall possess the cities of the south. God's about to do a separation. It's described in relationship to the habitation of the people in the Millennium Temple and area, that ground given by Almighty God to house his people, not to house, but to situate his people in that great book of Ezekiel. 21. And save yours. This is not the Savior, but his elect. And save yours. These are human beings. Shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. You that have difficulty understanding how humans could be a part in this, read Ezekiel 44 concerning God's Zadok, just elect, during the millennium age. You got it, beloved. Tomorrow's newspaper, written many, many years ago, even long before Christ, were 500 years. It's tomorrow's newspaper, and it shall be yet again. Another type, another benchmark, the Confederation, that was stitched together seemingly so solid, opened like a sack of feed when the miller knew which strings to grab to unravel the whole thing. That miller was the husbandman, the potter. He's your father, and he's in control. Naturally, as it is written, it shall come to pass. You can count on God's word. You cannot count on man. But you can count on God's word. His scripture is set in a solid foundation, and that foundation you can build upon, for that foundation is our rock, and our rock is Christ. He is the living word. Absorb it. The truth shall set you free. Free from what? The unknown, the anxiety of confusion in this world today, as people run to and fro, not knowing what tomorrow brings. Thank God that his truth, inasmuch as all wisdom flows from him, can be absorbed by you. I love you for that. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, please.